You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Mick Norton, Rory Delaghi and James Millman in the studio. It's 2 hour weather meetings domestically, Southwell and Wolverhampton, accompanied by Racing Over in Ireland from Clonmel. So 3 meetings this Tuesday. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am getting better by the minute.
Good. Yeah, you're a bit under the weather at the moment.
Yes, I'm a little bit, yeah. I'm recovering from a chest infection. I use the word recovering very loosely.
Right.
But hopefully I am.
Right. Well, what a distraction you've got on Tuesday. Good day of all other racing domestically and a bit of jumping in Ireland.
Yep, yeah. Unfortunately, no banger, but Wolverhampton and Southwell is fine by me. Sorry, it reminds me of a random conversation I heard in the train the other day, where every time we talk about Southwell, it's always like Southwell, Southwell, and it rather depends exactly where you're from. But I'm told that there's a different way of pronouncing Uttoxeter as well.
Really?
If you happen to be from the local farming community, call it Uttoxeter.
Wow.
So that's a new one to throw into the mix, isn't it?
You learn something new every day. Always about informing on this podcast.
Yes, you learn something new every day.
Good stuff. We're just going to take a quick look back at the weekend action and look ahead to some of the Christmas stuff in the Monday jury from the Racing Post, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's action. So the first question of the Monday jury this week, Rory, it's now 10-1 Bar Thistle Crack for the World Hurdle. Is that how you see it too? I'll just spin through the market here at William Hill. It's actually 8-1 barring Thistlecrack. Thistlecrack 5-2, 8-1 Cole Harden, Annie Power 10s, 12s for Au Petit Soir, Vroom Vroom Mag another at 12-1, as is Windsor Park, and 16s or bigger for the others.
Yeah, there is scope for a few to shorten up there. But I think at the moment, with doubts about the participation of a few of them, or indeed the well-being of them, going through them, Thistlecrack is rock solid now after that performance. He's not reliant on going left-handed or right-handed. He showed that last year, and he's won at Newbury and Ascot now this season, looking the best of the staying hurdlers in this country at the moment. Cole Harden had excuses behind him last time out. He's a horse who'll probably get another breathing operation between now and the festival. He needed one last year. He's had another one in the summer, I believe. And back on fast ground, he might come back into the equation. But, you know, for the time being, he was well behind Thistlecrack last time, and he needs to up his game if he's going to gain revenge and defend his crown. Annie Power is an unlikely runner in the race for me. Au Petit Soir would be an unlikely runner in the race as well. He was due to go chasing, is out injured at the moment. He'll have enough time to get there, but you don't want an interrupted preparation for a contest like this. And it would be an afterthought for him anyway. Vroom Vroom Mag again. Brilliant, unbeaten mare of Willie Mullins is, but is she going to come here? I think that's going to be open to debate as well. Windsor Park's very interesting, having won the Neptune last season. And if he comes along in the right way, then he's going to get a lot of Irish support. Kilcooley, I think, falls slightly short of the standard for this, but it's an interesting, you know, for place-only bets at his price. Martello Tarr was the winner of the Alpha Bartlett last year. And again, you know, if he does the right things at the right time from the new year, then his price is going to shorten up a fair bit. And you can make excuses for the likes of Saffron Aurora and Whisper. Whisper ended up finishing last behind Thistlecrack at Newbury, but clearly needed the run. And Saffron Aurora needs a breathing operation. So there are lots of reasons why some of those horses who've been beaten this season might come back. But when you build that into the prices, and I think the fact that Thistlecrack is a clear favourite is perfectly sensible. And possibly one of the more interesting ones in the race, actually, looking at bigger prices, is Bobsworth. Mm. Who I think he's got no chance of winning a Gold Cup now, has he?
No.
But obviously he looked very good back over hurdles at Aintree. Difficult to know how good that form is, but I think he's got a better chance of winning a World Hurdle a much better chance of winning a world title than he would have of winning a gold cup. So it's interesting to see him in there, just to throw a little bit of complexity into the issue as well.
Yeah, but Thistlecrock, rightful favourite then at the moment, and the market looks reasonably correct. What do you make of Supreme Novices Hope Yanworth at Ascot on Friday? I'll just see what price he is for the Supreme. He's currently 12-1.
I'm not massively inclined to go backing Yanworth for the Supreme at this stage, but he was visually impressive. At Ascot, we were talking about the bumper form last year. The champion bumper was a tremendously deep race last year, very, very solid all the way through. There were virtually no back numbers in the race at all. Horses who were finishing right out the back have been winning a handful of races since, and it's very warm form. Yanworth shaped as well as anything in the race. He was one of those who didn't look ready made in bumpers, looked like he would benefit from another year and jumping a hurdle. And so, you know, he goes into a race like the Supreme with a half-decent chance, although he's one of those who could easily go the Neptune route as well. So, and I don't think Alan King is looking at making any kind of decision on that. So while he was impressive and there were no real flaws in it, he made one small error, but otherwise his jumping was very good. You don't know which race is going to go in. You don't know how deep those races are going to be at this stage. So there's not an awful lot of reason to be piling in now.
OK. The William Hill King George looks a classic renewal. Who is your idea of the winner? Betting at the moment looks like this. Don Cossack 9-4, 11-4 for Vautour. Q Card 3-1, 7-1 for Sylvini Arco Conti, 10-1 for Hennessy winner Smad Place, who's in the lineup, 16-1 for Alpha Roth and Road to Riches, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. It does look a great renewal, doesn't it?
It's a cracking race. We finally got the right favourite. I've said all along that Don Cossack should be clear favourite. He should be shorter than 2-1 for the race. So at 9-4, he would definitely be the pick. He's been second favourite for this for a long time. But he is at the moment, he is the best horse in training. If you decide the Coney Grey is now out of training, he's been very, very impressive. His only failure was in the Ryanair, and he was tremendously unlucky there. Tremendously unlucky. And I've got no issue with him at Cheltenham, but that's not really an issue here. Kempton will suit him down to the ground. He surprised me because I wasn't a massive fan of his as a novice hurdler when he had a huge reputation. He once literally fell over himself in a race. He fell on the flat, tripped over his front legs essentially, and he looked quite, you know, big and ugly and uncoordinated as a hurdler. I'm always worried about how horses like that will come through, but he's developed really well. He's a much better looking horse now than he was as a youngster. For all you can see, he was the shell of something very special. So he deserves to be a favourite. I will be screaming Q Card home if my voice will let me do that. I would love to see Q Card win this, as would lots of other people, including the Jockey Club, to some degree. it's hard to see him winning the Gold Cup, but you know he was right back to his best last time. He's better than he's shown in a couple of King George, three King Georges now. But the bottom line is he had three goals and three failures here, and this looks like one of the warmest races he's been in.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard for him to win. And he's only marginally bigger than Don Cossack in the betting, and he's liable to drift from 3-1, possibly significantly so, to be honest. Couldn't answer Vignacco Conti. Smart Place is interesting given how well he went through the Hennessy. And on the ratings, he will look good too, because you know he was carrying quite a lot of weight at Newbury, and he won by a wide margin. I thought he was given the perfect ride, though.
Yeah.
By Wayne Hutchison, and made him look marginally better than he is. But again, Kempton shouldn't be an issue for him as long as the ground's soft enough. Dear old Alpha Roth, no. He had his fun first time out, had the race run to suit. It'd be interesting looking at Road to Riches and Valser Lido. Valser Lido shaped a lot better than the bare result behind Jackadam at Punchestown. And given these are the five-day decks, you'd have to say that there does look, I don't know whether Valser Lido or Rosa Richards are just in there in case something happens to the Lexus, which is highly unlikely, to be honest. The owner doesn't particularly like travelling them, but it's interesting they're still in the race. They'd be interesting at that price because I don't think either of them would start that price if they rocked up on the day, but the chances are that this is a kind of a backup plan for them.
All right, on to the fourth question then. Are you a fan of Fahine or nuts for the new one in the Christmas Hurdle?
I can't see why anyone would be talking about the new one anymore. No. I mean, and I say that as someone who's been a fan of the horse since day one, but we saw last season that he's no longer quick enough or a good enough jumper to win a champion hurdle, and he's got this kissing spine problem, which is just not going to go away. It's not something you click your fingers and cure.
No.
It doesn't get cured. You can treat it and try to ameliorate that as much as you can, but it doesn't go away. And the bottom line is the new one is going to find it difficult to make the breakthrough at the top level unless he can bully one of these races and chase all the other grid one horses away. He doesn't hold a candle to Fohin. Clearly there is this issue with Fohin in that he was beaten first time up, but you know, he was beaten narrowly by a very talented stablemate.
Yeah.
They were a little bit perturbed by it at the time, but even a repeat of that form would be good enough to win the Christmas Hurdle.
Yeah, and they've subsequently talked about the tactics with Fohin as well, haven't they? That they didn't think they got it quite right on the day.
Well, it's a tricky one because the same tactics that suit him suit the horse that won the race as well. Yeah. So, you know, Nichols Canyon ended up getting the perfect ride on the day. And the issue with Fohin is that he hung for the first time.
Hmm.
There's no reason why that should have been the case. So there might just have been something there. And there have been racecourse rumours that maybe he's got a bit of a back problem or something like that. I'm not so sure. I don't think you tend to do that if you've got a back problem. It tends to be you're feeling something else. But you might not want to be piling into him for fortunes at a short price. But the odds are that he will bounce back to his best next time we see him anyway.
The Welsh Grand National then, next. Who do you like the look of in the Welsh Grand National? 8-1 joint favourite.
I hate to be really dull here, but the horse that I've liked for this race for a year is Midnight Prayer, and he's 8-1 joint favourite. I put him up in this race last year, and I backed him in the Hennessy as well in his reappearance, and he needed the run in the Hennessy. He's a horse who won the 4-miler at Cheltenham a couple of years ago. And unfortunately, he missed this race at the last minute with an injury, or he picked up an injury. He might have picked up an injury in the Hennessy. But I have a feeling he came out right at the 11th hour in this. He was favourite for the Welsh National last year. He came out very late in the day. And he made his comeback at Newbury and ran really well this time around. Or I thought he ran really well. I mean, the form book might suggest otherwise, but I thought he shaped perfectly adequately given he was coming back from a longish break, and it would have been used to bring him to peak fitness for this. And he's, you know, he's very, very well handicapped on the pick of his form. And it's difficult for me to look away from. Interestingly, when the provisional declarations came through, there's only one horse jocked up for this, which means, you know, the first trainer to nail his colours to the mast was Alan King, Wayne Hutchinson on board. Lots of horses you can give a chance to. There's still 33 in, I think, at the 5-day stage. The obvious one to mention off the others is Of Whelan's Boy. I haven't got the weights in front of me. I don't know what he must have plenty of weight on his back, but he was really impressive the other day. Whether they'll want to run him so quickly, I don't know, given he's had his problems. But he bolted up in a graduation chase at Newbury. Only a small field, but good horses in there. He beat Sausalito Sunrise by half the track. So I see the headline in the Post saying door open for Of Whelan's Boy in Welsh National. But I'd like to see him win that because I've said for 2 years that he's a Welsh National horse. So if he rocks up and wins that in the day, then it will be some sort of justification. Although I've said the same thing now about Midnight Prayer for the last year. So it would be ironic if the horse I put forward 2 years ago comes back from injury to beat last year's Fancy. But yeah, those would be the two for me in the contest. But I'll just go with Midnight Prayer because it's been a long term plan for him. It's just the ideal race for him. 8-1 skinny enough in a race with 33 runners at this stage. But he is solid.
All right. I'll just try and get the weights up for the Welsh Grand National. Of Whelan's Boy, 11-10.
Yes. He might go up. I can't see Ublunde Zobo running in that, or the Giant Ball Street run the other day. So he might end up carrying top weight of 11-12, but that won't bother him at all. He's a big strapping horse, and he deserves that. Carlos Destrier gets in there with 11-6 as well. He was impressive at Sandown the other day. That was the first time he'd won in a biggish field, and now that he has, he could go on as well. Cracking contest. I mean, it's a really good quality race, the Welsh National, and it's thrown up. It's thrown up several Gold Cup winners in the past, Synchronised, of course.
Yeah.
And I remember when Synchronised won, people go, oh, you wouldn't expect a Gold Cup winner to come from the Welsh National. But actually, you go through it, go through the history of the race. Master Oates won the Welsh National. It was run at Newbury when he won it. Burra Halad won the Welsh National before going on to win the Gold Cup. And you've got one or two others in the last 20 or 30 years as well. So it's been remarkable in terms of producing top-class horses. So Cool Ground would be the other one. Yeah. So that's four Gold Cup winners in the last 30 years have come out of the Welsh National the previous season.
All right, okay, bear that in mind. Final question for this week's Monday Jorian. It's an important one, Rory. What do you want for Christmas?
My health. That's all I want. My health and the health of my family as well. My little boy's been struggling with a cough for an age. And my wife has had much the same as me, and she can't take anything for it because she's 7.5 months pregnant. So while I'm feeling sorry for myself here, they deserve a bit more sympathy than I do. So hopefully come Christmas Day, we'll all be in good health, and that'll be fine by me.
Okay, hopefully so. Good stuff. That's the Monday Jory then for another week. And let's leave that there and get stuck into Tuesday's action.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at two races at Wolverhampton and two races at Southwell. We'll go through them in chronological order. So the 12:40 at Wolverhampton is our first race. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. Before we get stuck into the form here, just a note, if you've been listening throughout December, you'll know that we have the money-back second offer at selected meetings throughout December, and Tuesday's meeting is Wolverhampton. So if you have a bet and your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25 in races with 5 or more runners. Therefore, it applies to the 12:40. Good news. What do you like in there, Rory?
I like Pensac's Lad, who's a course and distance winner in his time. He ran very well at Kempton 2 starts ago to be second, and then he won at Chelmsford just over 2 weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks ago, beating a rival who reopposes here in the shape of Dr. Parks. Dr. Parks led a furlong out, looked sure to win the race, and then was nabbed on the line by Pensac's Lad. There's not an awful lot between them on revised terms, but again, I think the way the race will be run will suit Pensac's Lad down to the ground. He wants a strong pace to run at, and there are lots of front runners here. So you've got the likes of Oriental Relation and Red Stripes and Temple Road, Seve, Luis Vaz de Torres, all who want to go on or chase the pace. And that means it's going to be a strongly run race. It will suit Dr. Parks to a degree as well. And he should be thereabouts. He's probably the big danger again. But with not an awful lot between them, I thought that the Pensac Lad could confirm the form. And hopefully he's not going to be a dreadful price either. I think one or two people would think that Dr. Parks was a little bit unlucky that day. And things did seem to suit Pensac Lad. But I think you're going to have a similar scenario again. And this is a yard, Ron Harris, who struggled largely for a while. His horse is in very, very good form at the moment. And that's also true of Milton Bradley, who's got Temple Road in the race. But Temple Road has been taking advantage of the fact that Milton's have been in form. He won off a mark of 63 at Wolverhampton at the end of November. He's £10 higher now and was beaten off this mark at Lingfield last time. So maybe eyes of the handicapper or that sort of busy period is beginning to catch him up. But those are both yards to pay attention to at the moment, Milton Bradley and Ron Harris.
All right. Pensac's Lad, though, the selection for Rory in the 12:40. To Southwell for their 1:30 next. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. A field of 10 here. Rory, who do you want to side with in there?
I am going to go with Heir of York, who's in cracking form at the moment. It's not the easiest contest in the world. You make a case for most of these. But Heir of York probably unsuited by the drop to 5 at Chelmsford last time out. Was quite an impressive winner over 6 furlongs here last month. Hampered in the run as well last time. Shaped as if he was still in decent form. Handicapper's had a say since. And I'd hope he'd be a reasonable price here. But the thing that attracted me to him at the likely price is the booking of Josephine Gordon. Philip Prince rode him last time out. Harry Burns was on when he won at Wolverhampton early in the month. But Josephine Gordon is riding really well at the moment. Dave Evans put her up and won the other day. That was only just touched off, only beaten a neck in a competitive handicap with a similar sort of profile, Anonymous John. And she is riding out of her skin, riding with an awful lot of confidence. And it's not so much that you're back in the jockey blind, but when a trainer like Dave Evans uses someone like this is because he's trying to maximise his chance, and he knows he's got an in-form horse, and the handicapper is trying to make it difficult for him. But Josephine's £7 claim will make a big difference there. Stall 10 keeps him out of the trouble as well. You'd rather be drawn high than low, so he'll avoid most of the kickback. And he's got a sporting chance. Hopefully he'll not be too skinny in the betting. I'm waiting for Run With Pride to return to form, but I may be waiting a long time with him. He was a horse who was very impressive at a massive price on his debut at Doncaster, and I had him down as a sprinter to follow, or sort of 6-7 furlong horse to follow since that. Derek Shaw's been largely out of form for a fair while, but again, he's been among the winners. But it's very, very hard to catch Run With Pride's right. He seems to save his best form for Doncaster, and I'm not sure that he will be very happy around Southall. So I've got to leave him alone again and wait for the day that he goes off at a massive price in a decent race at his favourite track. Dubai Hills has been a star around here over the years, but maybe not quite the force of old, and was well beaten behind Westwood Ho last time out, albeit in what was a stronger race than this. So he might bounce back. But I'll nail my colours to the mast of Heir of York and Josephine Gordon.
Heir of York then for Rory in the 130. Staying at Southwell for their 230 next. This one is a class 4 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. Again, a field of 10 here. I suppose we could start with You'll Find Gold, Rory, because arrives in good form, won a claim a couple of starts ago, and then back into this grade, finished runner-up last time. So somewhere there or thereabouts.
Yeah, his claimer win was over this trip. He was runner-up then at the mile and a half. And for some reason, the mile and a half seems to take a much more getting than the mile and three at Southwell. I know that's obviously it takes more getting because it's a furlong further, but the way races are run at a mile and a half compared to mile and three. Conor Doe, for example, has had winning milers win at a mile and three at Southwell, but horses who don't stay a mile and a half don't win over a mile and a half at Southwell, but for some reason they get away with it at the shorter trip. He ran well over further last time out, but he will benefit from the step back in trip. Most of his form for his previous yard, he was with George Baker, was around a mile and a quarter. So now that he's proven on the surface, and he looks well handicapped on that run last time out, he was off this mark. He travelled very, very well for a long way, so clearly capable of winning off this sort of mark. And he's got Paul Mulrennan on board again. Hayley Turner rode him. That was her final winning ride, was it? It was her last week in the saddle, and she rode two for Connor that day. And You'll Find Gold was the winner, and I don't think she had a winner after that. I think that might have been her last one. Obviously, I would have loved it if she'd won the November handicap, having napped Buona Rotti that she rode that day. But anyway, that's by the by. Paul Mulrennan has been drafted in to ride on his last start and keeps the ride again. I'm not sure that the Lockmaster is quite the force of old, but he's always been a bit of a specialist at this track and should bounce back to form from Mick Appleby. But you don't tend to be gifted any prices on Mick Appleby runners. So whatever price you get about the Lockmaster is probably going to be short enough. And I suppose the other one that merits a mention, whether tomorrow is going to be his day or whether he's trying to keep an eye on him for the future, Dragoon Guard starts out for Anthony Honeyball. Very shrewd yard. With Luke Morris in the plate. I'm not sure that he would be a subtle horse, to be honest. Was with Marco Botti before, but very interesting that Anthony Honeyball is giving him a go here, and he's one to watch for the future. Tongue tie on for the first time suggests he should be fit enough. There's not an awful lot of point in sticking a tongue tie on an unfit horse in the first place. So he's worth keeping an eye on, but I'd have thought his winning may be a little bit further down the line, and I will go with You'll Find Gold here.
You'll Find Gold then for Rory in the 230, and the final race we'll look at is a 340 at Wolverhampton. This one is a class 5 handicap over a mile and a half. A reminder, this is the money back second meeting, so do take advantage of that. 12 of them in the lineup for this one, and a few unexposed types in there, Rory. Quite an interesting race to finish the podcast here.
Yeah, you get an interesting one in the shape of Horse Guards Parade, for example, who was well beaten in two bumpers before winning a maiden at Southwell last time out, although he was a very unlikely looking winner on paper pre-race. The odds on favourite then unseated coming out of the stalls, and the second favourite, who was left in front, his jockey very nearly lost an iron and spent about 2 furlongs trying to get it back, turning into the straight. Horse Guards Parade looked like he was going to get tailed off in the early stages. The other three rather got in each other's way in the last 2 furlongs, and then he stormed through to win he won by a reasonable margin in the end, I believe, or just, you know, by a length from the others who, as I said, just softened each other up a little bit. You could argue that he's unexposed and the handicapper's got not much to go on, but I think 70 is a harsh looking starting point based on that. I think that might just have fallen into his lap. Not that it was a bad speed figure, but everything looked like it fell his way, to be honest. The obvious horse here, especially given the money back second offer, is Next Edition, who's not the easiest to win with, as form figures suggest, but he's run really well over the extended mile and five, or the mile and three quarter trip here, his last two starts. Ross Turner rode him last time as well, and he's he kept on well to be second that day, coming from last essentially in a race that wasn't run at a particularly strong pace. So looked better than the bare result. Had previous to that had finished third in amateur riders' contest over the same course and distance. The drop in trip is a little bit of a worry, given he's been staying on well in his races. But actually, he will benefit from a more strongly run race. He should get away with that. I think he'll definitely hit the frame. Your worry with him is whether he'd stick his head in front, whether he's always the type to do his late work and catch the eye. But if you're getting your money back for a second, then he's the ideal horse to go to war with here.
All right, good stuff. Next Edition Ferrari in the 3:40 at Wolverhampton. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your four selections for Tuesday one more time.
I'd be delighted. In the 12:40, that's at Wolverhampton, I'm going for Pensac's Lad. The 1:30 at Southall, it's Heir of York. The 2:30 at Southall, You'll Find Gold. And in the 3:40 at Wolverhampton, Next Edition.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go. The thoughts of Rory De Laghi on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. Mick Norton, Rory De Laghi and James Millman will be in the studio. And it's Southwell, Wolverhampton and Clonmel to come. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.